Jews, letter one, but you guys stole my letter. I was going to ask what faith meant to you in one word, but again, they stole it. So that's when Cam was helping me get learning how to do this, how to get up here and talk. He said, you got to get them interactive. You got to get them involved. To get that, and I'm like, well, they took it. Now what? So anyhow, I just want to share that I've been coming to New Heights Church, I think, for going on 18 years. When I came to New Heights, I definitely was not a Christian, and I was not impressed that I was coming to a church with my husband, who thought this was an awesome place to come. He had been in Miracle Valley, going through treatment, get clean, get back to a healthy way of being in life, and that was just up here somewhere. And so I would come visit, and then he kept on telling me about New Heights Church, and he was coming, and I'm like, oh no. This is not okay with me. So, and the reason why I didn't have a faith life growing up, it wasn't that my mom's mother did not try. Like, she tried, but it was like Taming of the Shrew. That's what I kind of think for my poor mom. My mom was faith-based, and I didn't really understand how faith-based that she was until she came to our first women's retreat, and she shared that. And I thought, yeah, that's how you lived with us crazy people, because you had Jesus and you had faith, or else you could not have stuck around as long as you did. Because we kind of had a hectic life. I'm not going to get into many details about that, but it was maybe what people might call a little bit dysfunctional. So we had some experiences in life that were kind of off, maybe not in a way that I would think a normal family would be, but I thought that we were normal because I didn't know another way. So this word faith has come to me, and it's like the word that Greg had said. He said, what's the one word you're going to have this year for your word? And for the last 5 years, it's been faith. And it's been driving me crazy. It's like, God, can I have another one? And it's like, no. So that meant there's something there I'm not looking at, maybe, or that I'm not doing. And I'm up here, too, because I always say the joke with everybody that I'm more of a Martha than a Mary. If you guys know the story of Martha and Mary, how Martha's always busy doing stuff, and then Mary's the one that went right to Jesus and just sat down, because that was the most valuable, the most important thing, the most best thing to do at that, to be with Jesus. And so now I think God's just speaking to me that it's time to maybe start being more of a Mary, start focusing on the busyness, like get involved in the busyness of the church. And I'm supposed to be going in another direction now, I think. So it wasn't easy getting to where I am standing in front of you right now, because if you would have asked me 30 years ago that this was going to happen, I would have thought you guys were, like, I'd probably have a word for it, but I would just call it nuts. we didn't have faith in the house. My mom tried. I never heard taking us to church, just me. And a few times, I know that I was in some nativity scene as an angel. I didn't know what that was all about. I can't even remember back then. I do now, but back then I didn't know. I remember that I was sent down to this room. And they took me away from my mom. And I had to learn Bible verses, and I had to get it right, or I didn't get a chocolate bar. And I didn't get it right. So I didn't like going in the first place. My dad definitely was not faith-based. He was a self-proclaimed atheist, and that's how he believed in atheism. He grew up in a way where it wasn't even introduced to him. As I got older, as I found out more about him, he had a life that was rough. He was born in the 1930s, and in the recession, end of the recession, or in the midst of the recession, his mother had died when he was 6 months old. His dad had injured himself in World War I it was. So he was unable to really work. And all these other things, they were considered kind of like the lower class, especially not going to church back then in your community. I guess there was that stigma on them too. I learned more and more about my dad as we got older about this stuff. But I didn't know some of the stuff. At one time, he was put into this orphanage. It was almost like a residential school. Because he was darker skinned, like his mother, we don't know what nationality his mother even is, but he had darker skin. So they would say that he was dirty and get a horse brush and brush until he was raw. And this was in a church. So he totally, after that experience and after the experiences of him growing up, church was dead to him. God was dead to him. They were nothing but a bunch of hypocrites, money makers, freeloaders. Like, he had other words I won't mention about church people and things like that. And I think that's probably one of the ways why we stopped going to church. I remember the one time we tried going to church again, and they phoned and asked for a donation, like your tithings. And my dad answered the phone. That was the last time we went to church. But my mom was there and just trying. And I look back, I see my mom now. She is so much stronger than I knew. Done that. So in that time, there was, why faith is so important to me, too, especially 5 years ago, someone asked me what faith was. And this was about the same time as Jesus started giving me that word. Someone asked me what faith was. And I was so nervous that I don't even remember if I even explained it the way I wanted to. So as I'm reading, I'm just going to throw in a little bit of some verses that meant a lot to me as I was doing this. So Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So without faith it is impossible. And that comes from the faith chapter, which I really looked at this week. And my relationship with God grew stronger, I believe, this week from doing all that. So in that negativity and way my dad was raised, we know that he used alcohol for a crutch so he wouldn't have to feel the pain. He lived in emotional pain all the time, I think, now that I can look back at it. Back then, I didn't realize he was living in this emotional pain, that these life experiences that he had gone through, numerous ones that I don't even know about. And so that was how I learned. And then some of the experiences we had living in a family that you might think has that kind of, you know, with alcoholism in it, there were some issues, some stuff. And then other stuff out of my control was happening. Other things that I had no control over, and some things I did have control over were happening. So I was growing up with this AC in them as well. Like, I was a teenager by then, and of course teenagers are bad enough. I'm sorry, teenagers out there. Not bad enough. You guys are okay. So I was always, you know, we can't do anything wrong. I couldn't do anything wrong. I had all the answers. My parents knew nothing. But, you know, that's the way I was. So I was kind of probably difficult. Got in trouble in school. All these things were going on. So I just thought, I started resenting my dad even. Because I couldn't wonder why he was cruel at times when he was drinking, why this cruelty would come out, why this stuff would happen. And so I started resenting him. And anger. So I really grew up with this anger and this bitterness, and I couldn't figure out why I was such an unhappy person. It wasn't that bad, but I still love my dad. We had some good times. There were still wonderful things. It was just those times when you knew that he was drinking that we just didn't know what to expect. So in Romans 3, verse 3, true, some of them were unfaithful, but just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God will be unfaithful? We know that's not true. So I let myself run wild, like self-will run wild. I think that's like an AANA term. And I also always felt hopeless. Life was never worth living. And I couldn't find the happiness. So my whole lifestyle turned into this sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's what life was about. So you can imagine the people I hung out with, what that was like. So I did things that I wasn't proud of, blamed mostly everything on everyone else because it's not my fault. Of course it wasn't my fault. It was everyone else's fault. But I stopped being this social drug and alcohol user, and then became the drinking and drunk became my way of life, how I functioned, how I could just get rid of this pain. And I didn't even know why I had this pain. Because everyone else I was with, we all lived the same way. Some of the similar kids I grew up, we all had the same lifestyle. We were just a bunch of blue-collar kids, you know, growing up in this little town in farm country. So yeah, so what I did, that was I was doing to manage my pain. So I made more bad choices. And then I realized now, when I look back, I was also probably self-medicating some mental health issues that I realized I have now, but I didn't have. I didn't know I had them then. So there's all these reasons. And through all this time, there was some divine intervention in my life. I can see it now. God interfered with my life, but I didn't see it as God. I just thought, lucky me. But that's another story. So along the way, I ended up in a rehab and treatment center. Life was better. I already had Justin Jamie at this time. But I still was living a rough life. I still wasn't living a life that I knew I wanted to give to my kids. So I didn't want to start. I didn't know. I look at it now, and it was like I didn't want to have a third generation of this. I still didn't know God. And I was mad at God. I didn't like God. I thought God was like not real. He was phony. If there's God, why do all these bad things happen? All those reasons why people don't believe. But having Justin Jamie had become my reason for existing, because there were several times I just didn't want to bother anymore. It was tough. And I was trying to stay clean. So this was probably like at least a 10-year process, this whole window, and staying clean. So I started working at this Christian outreach center, much like Hope Central, because I felt that's where I felt belong and comfortable, and I just wanted to help and give back some way. So I always had this servant's heart, not knowing that it was a servant's heart. And they would start singing songs like Blood of the Lamb, and I'm like, what? I'm like, well, that's gross. Like, it was turning me even more off. And then Abraham having to sacrifice his one son that they waited forever for, and I was like, this is crazy. Like, and of course, I only heard this stuff. I didn't know the whole story. You know, I heard an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I didn't hear the whole story. I didn't know there was stuff to read after that. So, of course, I just got more. It just turned me off. So this, but the minister that overlooked that would always challenge me, because he knew I wasn't a believer, and he'd always challenge me, ask me these questions, and I would challenge him back. And I go, if God is real, why can't I hear him? And he goes, Carrie, if you were standing here right now and you heard someone speaking in a loud, booming voice, what would you do? And I go, I'd be freaked out. And he goes, well, that's why he doesn't do it. And I thought, so that was even like my first thought, like, oh, you know, that makes sense, but I don't think I'm going to be going there yet. So I started going, I was going in AA and NA, and they talk about a higher power. And they told me it didn't even matter if it was a telephone pole. And this is telephone poles before some of you were probably born. We had telephone poles back then. That could be your higher power. And I thought, oh, okay. So as I got to learn more about the higher power, I used the telephone pole. And my kids, almost they became my higher power. Like I was living for them. And it was funny that... So I knew I needed more, and what I was doing wasn't working, this higher power. I even tried different forms of religion, of faith. You know, I went to even dark places to figure things out. I went to, like, a lot of other things just to figure it out. I wanted something, but I was not going to go find God. I didn't know about the Holy Trinity. I didn't know any of this stuff. I just know God. I was confused about Jesus. I didn't understand how this relationship worked. So I was always like, I didn't know. I was naive. I was ignorant to Christ. All I knew is what I learned growing up, watching the evangelisms on TV, all this kind of stuff, hearing what my dad, you know, I was turned off. And that he wasn't a God, there was no God if he could do harm to people, let things, bad things happen. I could never get over that. So the guy, the director from the outreach center I was at, you know, invited me to try going to church. You can't be judging when you haven't gone. Like, try it out. And I thought, ugh. So I did go. So this was when I was probably in my mid-20s. And it was like, I had already stereotyped every Christian there was. So I just figured all these hypocrites, nicey nice, perfect, wannabes, blah, blah, blah. Like, that was my attitude. You know, all they want is my money, and blah, blah, blah. So it was really bad. And I went in there walking into this with this attitude. So the one church I went to, the first time, they said there was something about your children are God's children, not your own. I'm like, oh. They go, that's not true. Well, these are my kids. So I quit going. So I go, that's not right. I'm not going to believe in that. These are my babies, not the his. And then I went to another church, with the church that was the directors at the center I worked at. And it's kind of, I believe, where my first mustard seed might have occurred. And this one minister, I went a few times because I thought he was kind of funny. Because every Sunday he would go up there and smile, big grin and happiness, the most cheerful guy you could see. And he goes, "Hell is hot and forever's a long time." And he would just say that smiling. And I would hear this and we're here and I go, I'm getting scared now. What if there is something out there? I don't want to burn in hell for eternity. So my mind started going in different places. So in Matthew 17:20, Jesus said to them, "Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So this is the same church. I started going to this church because I kind of liked it. And I used to sit in the back because I wanted to get out of there for the last song because I started figuring it out. When that last song was done, everyone's going to start hugging, talking, and all this other stuff. And I go, I'm getting out of here and getting my kids, and I'm done. But this one day, there was a service about God's true love for us. And all I can remember is hearing that there is someone out there that can love you and forgive you. And I just couldn't believe that. I just couldn't believe that anyone would be able to love me that much. Because I really felt unlovable, unforgivable, and unworthy of that kind of love. And I know that I wanted it. So when he was done talking, something happened, and I can't explain what it was, and I think it was a divine intervention again, but I was glued to that pew where I couldn't get up and move. And I thought, oh gosh. And I started crying, not tearing on, I was bawling. And I thought, oh my gosh, people are going to see how weak and vulnerable I am. And I'm like, this is not cool. This is not the tough woman, the tough, you know, cool. So I'm hanging my head, trying to let everybody see, and I just want to get my kids, but I can't move and go. So the last song ended, and the back became the front. And then people were walking by, and some of the ladies noticed me crying. I'm like, oh, no, don't come over. And they did. They came over there, and they started praying and asked me what was wrong. And I just told them the truth. They go, that's not true. That's not true. No one can love you like that. And they prayed for me, and they said, it is. I was so scared by that, I did not go back to church for another 5 years. Whoa. And in that moment, I had some other experiences that, again, I blame God. Like, mm-hmm. God was not there. So I ended it. But I know something had started inside me, in my heart. There was that light that was lit. It was a spark, just a spark, and it had to have been lit. And these are things I see now. Back then, I didn't see those. So 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfectly loved. So I find myself at New Heights Church because of my husband. We were not married then. We were heathens. So we came to church. And there's a story behind that one too. So we came to church. I thought I found this guy that would never want to do this, but he did. And he was the most social butterfly. If you know Steve, he's still a social butterfly. So of course he's interacting with people, talking. Like, he's extroverted. I'm introverted, and I don't even want to be here in the first place. He's talking to the minister at the time. He's doing all this stuff. And again, I just felt like I didn't belong there. And it wasn't that I didn't want to belong. I wanted to. I would tell myself I just didn't like being here. It was not cool or whatever it was. But I really wanted to be there. I wanted to have worth. I wanted to have something. But I still didn't know what I was looking for. I remember sometimes, too, I would be coming to church, and I think this is when the enemy was still working in me. And I would just start crying, and I just couldn't leave the car. Like, that happened for my first year, where if I started crying, I would just go back home. I'd be in a parking lot, I'd go back home. And I know it was the enemy. He just didn't want me. He didn't want me to find this. He liked where I was, and he wanted to keep me where he wanted me to be. And I was still in that point of vulnerability, not knowing and searching. And you open a lot of doors, I think, when you're doing that, when you're exploring. And I just wanted this something. I didn't know it was faith, though, that I was looking for. I didn't know that. So this guy introduced us, this minister, to the Deos. The Deos did Bible studies. So we were going to our very first Bible study, Revelations. And it was like, okay. And so my husband, being the funny guy he was, before we left to go to the Bible study, he took my hand once, I'm going to write something lovely on your hand, he wrote 666. And I'm like, this is a joke. And I'm like, what are you doing? I can't. So I'm getting the comment. I'm getting the bleach. I'm trying to just grab my hands. And then he would send me notes during the Bible. Like, there's only like seven people, so it's obvious he's passing me notes. And then he would go, oh, I love notes. And I'm just like, no, he would say Satan's watching you or something. And it'd be like, stop. I'm already like, freaking out. We're here learning something I know nothing about. Like, we had learned now, I would learn now, but never tell someone that's a new Christian to start a Bible study in Revelations. Just to put it that way. But we loved the Deos. Like, the Deos were our salvation. They were our mentors. They were those disciples. Like, I'm so blessed that we were put in our path.
Six.
We'll talk later. So I was so blessed to have been put in our path, because there was something in that family that I wanted, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah,
and it was hard. Okay, so that was really hard. Like, I just wanted that, and I loved them. I loved their family, I loved their kids. And we'd follow them around to all the church activities, of course, the House of James, doing all this stuff. So I was doing stuff already I didn't even realize I was doing to find faith to get closer to Jesus. So, and I can look back on it now, and it was, I just can't, you know, I would hope I can do that for someone too someday, is what I'd love to do. And that's where we go as our church. We want to be a discipling people and give back. We want to be on that journey that we talk about. So this was, then it was the first women's retreat. Ugh. I did not want to go. And then I didn't have money, because we weren't making any money. We were like, we didn't have anything. So then I had to start helping to raise money for this thing. So there was something I didn't want to go to. We're making cookies or something, and I'm just like, this is nuts. I'm going to be stuck with women all weekend? Like, what's going to happen to me there? And I think that whole weekend I just cried, because I learned more about Jesus that week than anything else. But I still had hesitancy going to women's retreat. But now I love going, obviously, because I'm quite involved in it now. But I loved what it did for me, and I just want to give that back to other people. I can't remember if I read this one. Did I read 1 Peter 5:10 yet?
No.
So after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So living a faithless life. Well, I think my dad lived a faithless life. He was the one that asked me that question 5 years ago, what was faith? This guy who was an atheist, the last person I ever thought would ask, but who else could he go to? We were the only Christians he knew. And having Jess and Jamie, like, Jamie was a little Bible thumper back then. When he would go visit my dad in the summer, they'd go to Grandma and Grandpa's in the summer, hang out, and he would just preach to my dad about Jesus. I think he must have been 7 or 8. And then my dad would start teasing the kids and saying, look, because they lived in front of the river, look, Jesus is walking on the water, hurry. They'd get there, he'd be, oh, you missed him. So these are the kind of things my dad would do. And he goes, is your piggy bank empty? Do you have any money saved? Like, how are you going to save money if you give to church? Like, just little things like this, just little digs, you know. And then one day, during the summer vacation with Grandma and Grandpa, my dad calls me, he goes, Carrie, and I go, Jamie's crying. I'm going, why? What's happened? He goes, He's afraid I'm not going to heaven. And I go, oh. So I was like, okay, now I'm going to wait for my dad to see, okay, what direction are you going in here, Dad? And then he goes, okay, I need to talk to Jamie and just tell him I'm a Christian so he'll stop crying. Well, I thought, well, I could do that. So anyhow, I kind of told Jamie not to worry because I believed that Grandpa would be going to heaven. And Jesse too. I mean, they were demonstrating good faith in God by the way they acted and behaved, which is amazing. So that was Isaiah 11:6. A little child shall lead them, is what I think. So was that my dad starting his mustard seed? Maybe that was it. He was able to see a different life I was living. Maybe that was it too. You know, he thought, he didn't know what was wrong with me. I was this crazy kid, crazy woman. You know, I couldn't stay in one house for more than 6 months. I couldn't live, I moved provinces a couple times back and forth. I was married twice before I was even 30. You know, divorced twice before I was even 30. Like, this was the life I was living. But the life, I wasn't living that life anymore. And it felt good. I know there was still some really imperfections in me, and there still is. But that was the last time I saw my dad alive, was when he asked me what faith was. And I remember the pain in his expression, the way he looked of desperation, of great need. I've never seen that look in my dad's face. I was totally caught off guard, because that was the last thing I saw. He was sitting in his chair. He was older at this time. He was in his 80s. He wasn't in good health. He had a lot of things. So it wasn't even the physical pain, but he also had that still hanging on to emotional hurt, pain for like 83 years of his life, living like that. All that was going through my head is that, like I said, I couldn't believe all people in the world he was asking me that question. I felt a little bit disheartened after sharing what I thought faith was, because I was not sure if I gave him the right answer, because I wanted him to get it right there and then. I wanted to be like, almost like, convert him right there, go back. I don't know. It was just like, I wanted to do something, but I didn't want to freak him out or scare him. I didn't want to scare him away, because I knew how he felt about Bible numbers. So I didn't want to do that to him. But it was like an answered prayer. It's like prayer had been answered. So even when I went home, I went and bought this book on faith so I could read it. And I remember talking to him on the phone a few more times. And we talked about it a little bit more, I think, which was really nice. And then he died. But I just think of my dad, of not being an atheist, but just a lost lamb. As many of us are. So that's why I think you got to have faith. You got to share your faith. You got to give what God has given to you so freely and give it back. That is so important. And faith is action. It's not just talk. It's an action word. So what are you doing in your life? That's the question, my invitation to you. Is the faith you have worth sharing? And if not, what needs to change to make it worth sharing? What's your next step that you need to take? So maybe this week, what is that one? Who is that one person you can share or demonstrate your faith with this week? You know, it's worth sharing. And even at Hope Central, it's not like I believe in going down here and just preaching a word. It's how I act, how I am with people. I want them to see something in me that they want, you know. I don't want them to feel hopeless, because they do. I know what that feeling of hopelessness, desperation. I know that if I did not have faith, if I did not find this church, or I didn't find it at church, or I didn't have my faith in God, I would not be alive. Because that was the direction I was not going in the direction of living. So I thank God every day. And a prayer I've been praying a lot for the last few months is that, before I go to bed, and I'll say it over and over, is Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. That's something I say every day. Sometimes twice a day. If I need to clear my head, I just say that verse over and over again. So John 1:12, yet to all who died receive him. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So I totally believe that my dad was able to have that conversation, have that judgment with Jesus after he passed away. And I'm sure they had some things to talk about. And I really sure will see him again. So that's it for me. And that was my first time sharing with you guys, talking this. I just want to change a little bit, having faith. I just see Josh. He's going on an amazing journey on Monday. He's going to be gone for 3 weeks in Africa. He wants to share his faith there. He's going to be working with children. So just if you had a chance today, make sure you pray for him, you bless him, you just let him know that we're all behind him on this journey. So it'll be 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah.
6 days.
Yeah. So that's awesome. So I love that generation. We have so many young people taking that next step to share the faith. It's awesome. So I don't know if we have I can pray and then we'll have the band come up. Okay. So dear Father God, we just thank you that you have this open door for us to have relationship with you. Your door is never closed. We are always able to meet with you, God. I pray for everyone today, God, that they build that relationship even stronger with him. And it's just little steps, God. We know, whether it's just listening to this beautiful worship music, serving, you know, joining a Bible study, just do those things. Reach out. I pray that they can do this, God. And if they feel that they need more strength, just build that relationship stronger. That is the way to you in your faith, God. I just thank you that the opportunity to share, God. Thank you and thank these people. In your name, amen.